الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأنجينا موسى ومن معه أجمعين وقال تعالى وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى ثم أدبر يسعى فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, ثم الحمد لله, Allah رب العزة has blessed us with another Islamic year, 1440. It is the month of Muharram. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is the month of Allah, Shahrullah al-Muharram. We have heard previously also over the years the significance, the importance of the month of Muharram. Muharram itself means sacred. And specifically the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. In Arabic, Ashura from Ashar. Ashar means 10. Ashura, 10. Ashura, the 10th day. And this is known as the day of Ashura. Ulama and commentators have spoken in great detail and they have discussed various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to the significance of Ashura and the virtues of fasting on Ashura. So inshallah, we'll very briefly explain some of those aspects and see what lessons we draw from this incident that took place on the day of Ashura, which has been recorded in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Sahih kitabs like Bukhari and Muslim. A hadith of Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Qatada was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Siyamu Ashura, the fasting of Ashura, إني أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبلها. That I have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever keeps Roza on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins, the minor sins of the previous year that had passed. So just one Roza you are keeping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His infinite mercy and grace is prepared to wipe out all the sins of the past year. The minor sins are all forgiven. Of course, for major sins, one has to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the conditions of tawbah. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, the commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, he goes into great detail and he mentions various narrations and then he gives or he encapsulates the entire incident of fasting of Ashura, in which he says, and he quotes a hadith, and the hadith I quoted first is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, and he mentions a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this is mentioned in Bukhari, where Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that in the time of Jahiliyyah, the people used to keep this fast of Ashura. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah prior to Hijrah used to also keep the fast of Ashura. Either he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was already shown the importance, or he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep that fast. Or like the people in Makkah at that time, they followed the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why the mushrikeen, they used to follow certain rites of and rituals of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, like making Hajj in their own way. They made tawaf of the Kaaba in their own way. So this was prevalent. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah had inspired him to keep this fast of Ashura even before his coming to Madinah Munawwara. So the people in Jahiliyyah kept this fast. Rasulullah also kept this fast. And it's mentioned by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When he came to Madinah Munawwara, then he found that the Yahud were also fasting on this particular day. And when he inquired of them, and this is mentioned by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, also mentioned and recorded by Sahih Muslim. And he says, he asked them that, what are you fasting for? So they explained that this was the day Anjallahu Musa wa gharraqa Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu salam, and Allah drowned Fir'aun. And because of this, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam fasted on this 10th of Ashura. Fasamahu Musa shukran lahu, out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala saved me on this day from the clutches of Fir'aun, and Allah drowned Fir'aun. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam kept roza on that day. He fasted on that day. So the Yahud say, they said that we also are keeping this fast because they claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this answer from them, he said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We are more deserving of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We are more closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you are. In Islam, we believe in every single Nabi that was sent down. And we have great love for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned in the Quran in various surahs. In some surahs in detail, in other surahs, briefly, his incident has been mentioned. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasamahu, he was keeping it before, and he continued keeping it, wa amara bi siyamihi, and he commanded the Sahaba to fast also on the 10th of Muharram. Now remember, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Madinah Munawwara when it was Rabi'ul Awwal. So when came Muharram, then he commanded the Sahaba to also fast. So it became compulsory upon them, it became wajib upon them. And if you look at the various ahadith, it was very highly emphasized to such an extent that the woman would not even feed the little children on that day. Nonetheless, second year of the Hijrah, لَمَّا فُرِضَ رَمَضَانَ, when Ramadan became compulsory, then the fast of Ashura, which was wajib, now became abrogated. No longer were the Muslims compelled to keep the fast of Ashura. Now Ramadan became fard. However, the fast of Ashura still had its significance and its virtues, as I mentioned. يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. And Rasulullah kept this fast. Sahaba also kept this fast. Whoever wished to keep this fast, he kept. So there were those who kept this fast and there were those who did not keep this fast. But Rasulullah used to keep this fast. Later on, when Islam spread, then in the beginning he made muwafaqa of the Yahud, but later on, after Fatih Makkah, according to Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi, then Rasul now began to make mukhalafat of the Yahud in their ways. He opposed the Yahud in their ways. And he says, خَالِفُ الْيَهُودَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. So he opposed the Yahud and he said, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ عَامٍ لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ الْعَامِ الْمُقْبِلِ لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِحِ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He says, if I have to now remain alive the next year, so this is already the 10th of Hijrah, and he told the Sahaba that now we will oppose the Yahud, then I will keep Roza the next year on the 9th as well. So we won't just keep one, because keeping one, we will be similar to what the Yahud are doing. Now we will be different, we will oppose their ways. And this is an important lesson for us. And up to today, we have discovered that the Yahud also keep this particular fast. I think it is called Yom Kippur. Of course, it does not coincide every time with our particular day because they follow the solar lunar calendar. It's a very detailed explanation. Some parts of the year they are following rigidly the solar, and then sometimes they are following the lunar calendar. So Rasulullah said we should not coincide, or we should always be opposing them. So if we are keeping on Ashura, the 10th of Ashura, we add a fast to it. And he said, I will keep the 9th, but he had passed on. He left this world before the next year came. Another narration, it has been mentioned, Sumu qablahu aw ba'dahu. One could keep on the 9th as well, or on the 11th. So it's simple. People get confused and people will keep on asking, how many fasts, what must we do? It is simple. Keep on the 9th and the 10th. Or the 10th and the 11th. The 9th and 10th for us this year will be on Wednesday and Thursday. The day of Ashura is Thursday. So we will keep on the 9th and 10th. And this is not compulsory. I'm making very clear, as I mentioned, some Sahaba kept it after Ramadan became Fard, and some did not keep it. So those who are keeping should never look down upon others. However, it is highly emphasized, and I mentioned the virtue to you. It's a very Mubarak day. Yawmun Azeemun, in the riwayat, Yawmun Salihun, is a very pious, very good, very great day, auspicious day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned by Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that four things he would never abandon. One was the fast of Ashura. Then was the fasting of 3 days every month, the middle of the month. Then was the fast of the Dhul Hijjah fast, the first 9 days. And the 2 rakat of Sunnat of Fajr. Before the Farz of Fajr, the 2 rakat Sunnat we perform has been highly, highly emphasized. We're not going to go into that detail. However, these four things, لَمْ يَدَعُهُنَّ Rasulullah did not abandon them. So again, it is not compulsory, but highly recommended. We should try and keep this fast and simple. Keep on the 9th and the 10th, that is Wednesday and Thursday. If a person could not keep on Wednesday, you'll keep on Thursday and on Friday. This is a simple. Whoever wants to keep on the 9th, 10th and 11th, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Ramadhu has also said that also is permissible. So you keep 3 days, there's no problem in that, there's no sin in that. However, minimum you should keep 9th and 10th. This is to oppose the Yahud. We know that Rasulullah left the world and he did not see the next year for him to physically keep Roza on the 9th. And this has been passed on generations, and these ahadis have reached us, and inshallah we should also try and make amal, make niyat, inshallah we will keep this Roza. It's a very Mubarak day, and inshallah we will get the benefit of this Roza. Then also another aspect is about having or spending freely on upon one's family on that particular day. Now the various narration, and even though some of these narrations are weak, but together they gain strength, and this has been the practice of many of the Salaf al-Salihin, and it has been narrated by many Sahaba like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala. So many, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, have narrated these ahadith where a person who spends freely upon his family on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَائِرَ سَنَتِهِ Allah Ta'ala will be generous towards him the remaining of the year. This has been tried and tested by many of the past. Many Salaf al-Salihin till today. Many ulama have seen the benefit of this. So inshallah, what does it mean spending freely? Doesn't mean now you just go and spend wildly. No. Normally if you buy something, you have a limit, a budget. On that particular day, spend a bit more freely on your wife, don't be a miser. Spend on your kids, your family, your parents, you've got close ones living with you. A little bit more and you will see the barakah of this. So this is also something that has been mentioned. Yes, people ask about when must have the iftar with the family. There's nothing about iftar with the family. And yes, this part is mentioned about spending freely on one's family. That's the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. So spending freely, normally you buy some groceries, any other household items. On that day, don't be a miser. A little bit more freely. Of course, what is within your budget, it should not be such that a person spends so much and now he has to beg from others. No. But when we are buying, we're going out shopping, whatever, the wife puts something that she wishes to put in the trolley, and I don't ask, you sure you're going to eat this? You sure you like this? I don't think you're going to use it. And that day, now a little bit of generosity we should show, and inshallah we will see the barakah of it, inshallah. Now coming back to the fact of Ashura, when the Yahud said that we are keeping this fast because Sayyidina Musa alayhi wasalam kept this fast out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah saved him from Fir'aun, Allah drowned Fir'aun and his army, and Allah saved Musa alayhi wasalam and the Bani Israel. So I would like to just mention a few important incidents or lessons that we can draw from this incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi wasalam, as mentioned throughout the Quran. His incident has been mentioned particularly in the 19th para, Surah Namal, Surah Shu'ara, Surah Qasas, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks a bit more detail about the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi wasalam. What do we see in this entire surah? What is the conclusion? What is the lesson that we draw? And what does Allah ta'ala show us in the surah? What does Allah bring home to us? What is the lesson? We see the decline of a tyrant ruler. Somebody who was intoxicated with his own powers and strength. What did he say? أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِي الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. All these things that you see. The kingdom of Egypt. I'm the owner. I'm the king. See these rivers that are flowing. And all the treasures and all the things that he had. Everything belongs to me. So we see the decline and the fall of Fir'aun, who was haughty, he was proud, he was arrogant, he was insolent, he was conceited, egotistic, he had this bimari, the sickness of egoism in him. I, me, I'm the most powerful. To such an extent that now he rebels against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he claims to be Supreme Lord. مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِ. What Lord you are talking about, somebody else beside me? أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He says, I am the most high and supreme Lord. There's no other Lord for you. I am the most supreme Lord. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. So he rebels against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his inordinate vanity, he fails to realize that how small a creature he was before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah who is خالق السماوات والأرض. Allah who is one who has got no partners and every single thing belongs to Allah. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Fir'aun misused his power. He misused his strength. He misused his treasures, his army. He rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rejected the kind invitation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam towards the oneness of Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give da'wah to Fir'aun. We learn from this that despite being a rebel or rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing your tyranny, your rebellion, not accepting the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala still gives you grace. Allah still shows you mercy. Allah still provided for Fir'aun. Allah still sent Musa alayhi salam, go and speak to him kindly. فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ. Speak kindly to Fir'aun. He's an enemy of Allah, enemy of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Claiming divinity. Imagine, what a guna, what a sin. Still Allah tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, whom he dua, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, expand my heart. Fill in my heart the nur of iman and nubuwwah. Give me that strength that I am going to go to this tyrant ruler. I must be able to compose myself. I must be able to be tolerant and kind. When we give dawah to a person, sometimes they might shut the door on our face. We may be chased. Nabi Kareem went to Taif. He was chased by the people. Nobody listened to him. They hurled him with abuse and stones. They made him bleed. Finally, when he falls unconscious, then Allah Ta'ala sends down an angel. So when Rasul regains his consciousness, and when he is asked, if you wish, I am the angel of the mountains, and I will crush the people of Taif between these two mountains. Rasul says, Bal arju, I have hopes that somebody from their progeny will bring iman. Somebody from their progeny will bring iman. So when a person gives da'wah, when he preaches Islam, then you are going to go through various tests and trials and tribulations. So Allah Ta'ala still gives grace to Fir'aun, who is his enemy. Gives him a chance. There is a chance for you to return to Allah. For all of us, we sin, we commit sins. Allah gives us chances and opportunities to make amends, to turn to Allah, to supplicate, to cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah showed His power, His strength, that whatever the plans of Fir'aun was, it was against taqdeer and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun had commanded his men to kill every child, every male child born in the Bani Israel, because he had seen a dream, and the interpretation of the dream was, if a child from Banu Israel, a boy, will topple your entire kingdom and you will overrule you and overthrow you. So because of that, he was so merciless. And perhaps in today's time as well, we can draw some comparison with some tyrant rulers in this world. Some despots who don't care at all. And the whole world is blind and fast asleep. Illa masha'Allah. People will have summits and conferences and they will talk about Idlib. Right now at this very moment, what is happening to masoom children. So this type of Fir'auniyat still exists today. And my respected brothers and elders, maybe we just draw our focus upon certain tyrant rulers, but let's look at our own lives. Do we have some qualities that are prevalent in our lives that were found in the time of Fir'aun or in Fir'aun? We have people working for us. We have subordinates. We have wives. We have children. We have workers in our factories, in our workplaces. How do we treat them? How do we speak to them? Do we forget sometimes? Or is it our pride, our vanity, which has exceeded the limitation, goes beyond the bounds? We forget, we become intoxicated. It's me, it's mine. Nobody can show me, nobody can tell me. So what do we do at times? We look down upon people. We treat them with inferiority. At times when Quran and Hadith is presented to you, as understood by the masters of Quran and Hadith, people who have spent their lives understanding the Quran and Hadith, the truth is brought to you, but still you reject it. Al-kibru batarul haq wa ghamtu an-nas. What is pride? Pride simply means that a person rejects the truth and he looks down upon people. So Fir'aun, when he displayed this vanity, this haughtiness, the insolence, and he forgot that he was just a speck, a tiny little creature in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This led to his ignominy, his shame, his destruction, humiliation, to such an extent that when he was drowned, when he was destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala mentioned in the 25th juz of the Holy Quran, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِن جَنَّاتِ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعِ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ كَذَلِكَ أَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. He says, how many gardens Fir'aun and his men left, his army, they left behind. All the palaces, maqamin kareem, and the plantations and all the crops that he had, everything he abandoned, he took nothing with him in the hereafter. Jannat wa'uyun, the springs and the rivers, wa'zuru'in and the plantations, wa'maqamin kareem, the noble homes and palaces, وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ, and all the pleasures that he was enjoying, and they were enjoying. Allah made somebody else now inherit all those riches. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. The skies and the earth did not cry upon the destruction and demise or the death of Fir'aun. It is mentioned, ulama mentioned in the tafsir of this verse, when a good person, when a pious person, when a believer, a mu'min, a righteous person passes away, the doors of the heavens begin to cry. That door from which his rizq was coming down, that door through which his amal, his good deed will ascend, that door begins to cry now. And the earth upon which he is to make the ibadat of Allah begins to cry. They say, how it is for us now, that now such a pious person who has left this world, his good deeds are not going to be brought towards us or through us now. They actually cry for the believer. And the converse, when an evil person dies, then the skies and the earth do not cry for him. In fact, they may be getting happy that such a person has left this world. And that is why Rasulullah has mentioned, مُسْتَرِيحًا أَوْ مُسْتَرَاحًا مِنْ, that when some person passes away, and then he gets comfort from the toils and the pain and struggles of this world. Now he's in peace, he's in serenity. And there are others who, when they leave this world, people around them, they get peace. They say, good riddance to him. Alhamdulillah, he's gone, he's left now, nobody will trouble us. So when Fir'aun left this world, this was his condition. And look at his wife Asiya. She embraced Iman. She preserved her faith. She believed in one Allah. And despite the challenges she faced, imagine you are in that environment, and we also sometimes in that environment, when it becomes difficult to be steadfast on your Iman, there's a lesson. That she is the wife of Fir'aun, who was a tyrant ruler. What does he do? He pegs her onto the ground. Her hands, her feet are pegged and nailed into the ground. And a huge rock is placed on her chest, on her body. And as that is happening, in the 28 juz of the Holy Quran, رَبِّبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ. She makes a dua to Allah. Oh Allah, save me, my Allah. First she says, oh Allah, build me a house by you in Jannah. Save me from Fir'aun and the oppressive people. Allah answers her dua. So as the rock is about to be placed on her body, her life, her ruh is taken away. So the rock is placed on a lifeless soul. Allah protects her. Allah honors her. Allah makes mention of her in the Quran. You and I read it. Then there was a woman who used to comb the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. She also brought Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She also believed in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam as the Nabi of Allah and his teachings. So one day as she's combing the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun, the comb falls down. Mentioned in Tabrani. And as she picks it up, she says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So the daughter of Fir'aun says, are you taking the name of my father? Who is this Allah you are talking about? She says, no. This is not your father. Allah is my Rabb, your Rabb, and the Rabb of your father. So she goes and reports this to her father. Fir'aun summons her. It is mentioned in Tabrani that she's got young children. One was just being breastfed by her. Fir'aun tells her to abandon her deen. She says no, she remains steadfast on Iman. And this is the test of Iman, the acidic test of Iman. That now you are faced, you've got an option to just forsake Islam and you are set free. Or you remain steadfast, and history has shown, borne testimony to thousands and thousands and thousands of people who stood on Iman. They were steadfast. They did not give up. And how Allah honored them. So Fir'aun orders for a big pot, a cauldron. Boiling water is filled inside. And one after the other, her children are thrown in front of her eyes. Finally comes her turn with a little baby. And the narration says that as she goes, she hesitates for a while. A little bit of hesitation. Why? She feels pity for a masoom child. She saw the others going in. She bore it, she made the sabr. Now her child, the little masoom child being breastfed, difficult. The little child, little baby being breastfed, nobody cannot say anything, hardly any an, few words. This child, Allah makes the child speak. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I should mention, there were few children who spoke, even though they were still little infants and babies. And this child addresses the mother, oh my mother, do not be afraid. The fire of Jahannam is worse than this fire. So plunge yourself. And she takes her child and she goes into this boiling water. Rasulullah SAW, when he makes Mi'raj, as he's been taken by Burraq and Jibril alayhi salatu salam, various incidents took place. They come across a land where he gets the fragrant smell of musk. Oh Jibreel, who is it? Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned this incident, that this is the mashita of Fir'aun and her children. They are buried here. Before she was killed, she asked Fir'aun, and she says, when I am killed, gather my bones and the bones of my children and place it in a cloth and bury it. And this was done for her. And this is this fragrant smell that came out, the fragrance of musk from her qabr. Allah honors such people. We saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun said that every child must be killed. But Allah's plan is triumphant and victorious. It so happens that Musa alayhi salam is born. And Allah inspires his mother. Either by way of dream or some way, Allah inspires the mother of Musa alayhi salam. An ardi'i, feed him. Give him milk. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِينَ. When you are afraid that the soldiers of Fir'aun are coming and they're searching your house, then put him into a little box. Which person will ever do such a thing? Put him in a box and put him in the river. You know your child is not going to come back to you. Allah says, لا تخافي. Do not fear. Do not grieve. إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكَ. We will most certainly bring back your child to you. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We'll make him a Nabi also. Subhanallah. And this child goes into this box and comes into the right into the feet under the or the lap of Fir'aun. Asiya looks at him. She feels pretty. What a beautiful child. She pleads to Fir'aun. And they keep this child. He grows in the palace of Fir'aun. Look at Allah's plan. The enemy of Fir'aun. Fir'aun is looking after him. There's so many other incidents related to this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is indeed a great day. We should try and keep the roza as I explained. Make a lot of sincere tawbah. There has been one narration that Allah ta'ala forgave a nation also on this day. So, and also Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. These two things have been mentioned, that Musa alayhi salam was saved from the clutches of Fir'aun, and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's ark, it settled on Mount Judi on this particular day. Allah Ta'ala save Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. It is the day for us to turn, reflect over our past, make sincere tawbah, look at the Quran, the lessons that we derive, and make sure that we do not have these bad characteristics in our lives. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.